Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Golf Zone Range by David Ledbetter. With the latest golf technology in Little Ferry, New Jersey, and now in Westbury, Long Island, learn golf faster. Visit www.golfzonerange, that's golf, Z-O-N, range.com. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality, experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice-filled technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBeKUL.com. It's my pleasure to say hello to a world-renowned golf instructor, PGA Hall of Famer, David Ledbetter. Now, in addition to coaching 26 major champions, 7 world number ones, and many more of the world's most famous players, David is also a golf entrepreneur, inventor, and author of now 9 golf instruction books. There's a new one just out called Fix It Yourself. And he's developed a brand new concept in indoor training offerings called Golf Zone Range by Ledbetter. What an honor to have you on, David. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Hey. Great to be here, and nice to see you again.
It's always great to connect with you. And well, let's start with Golf Zone Range. How would you describe Golf Zone Range and everything it has to offer for golfers of all ability levels?
Well, a few years ago, we merged with a group out of Korea called Golf Zone, and they're the biggest simulator company in the world. So down the road, we've decided that, hey, we need to have these practice facilities around the country, which we have now 2, the latest one being just opened up in Westbury in New York. It's very much geared around what they do in Korea, particularly Seoul. I mean, there's a number of these facilities there. You know, it's difficult to play and practice in Korea because literally the golf courses in many instances are way out of town. So it's an all-day deal. So they actually play more golf indoors and outdoors. Wow. In Korea. That's where a lot of people learn to play. And there's PGA, LPGA tournaments indoors. So it's almost like, I wouldn't say it's a different sport, but a lot of people, I mean, they love to practice over there. And you can see the quality of these players that are playing now on the LPGA Tour in particular and on the PGA Tour. Well, most of them started off indoors, and they worked their technique indoors. So they weren't sort of frustrated at getting out there, worrying about, you know, hitting it fat and taking big divots and one thing and another. I think there's a definite case for learning indoors, which we've seen. I mean, some of these young kids over there, you honestly want to see them sort of in their sort of 8, 9, 10 age group with really, really stellar technique. So they're learning at a young age. And it's starting to catch on in the States, especially in metropolitan areas like New York. And obviously there's a number of places around the country, especially in the winter, where people can not only just entertain themselves, because there's two aspects to it. There's Golf Zone Range and it's called Golf Zone Social. Now, social is a little bit more where you're going to have a few drinks and you get with your pals and you play different golf courses, where the Golf Zone Range ostensibly is where people work on their golf games. And so we've got performance golf, which is a big indoor putting facility attached to it. You know, so it's really, you can actually cover every aspect of the game. You know, so we look at it from, hey, bringing people into the game. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of instruction on the internet now, as I'm sure you're aware of.
Sure.
And there's not much actually geared towards beginners. Hmm. So we actually, one of the things we're trying to do is actually encourage beginners to come. We've got a program that we're running very shortly where we're actually going to get beginners, men and women, and sort of put them through a 6-week program and just see how they actually improve from actually starting from scratch. You know, the problem with a lot of golfers, obviously they go out with their friends And the, you know, or the husband says to the wife, come on, keep your head down, keep your left arm straight, you know, which is instruction back from the 1900s, early 1900s, for that matter. And so now you can actually learn. And so we know if you get off to a good start and you learn your technique correctly, then there's every chance you're going to be a decent player, no matter how athletic you are. And we're not suggesting everybody is going to be a tour player that comes through golf zone range for sure. But we just really want to encourage people, look, that as we know, the better you play, the more you enjoy the game.
Sure.
So you can go up with your... Yeah,
they offer private lessons, golf classes, swing analysis, even tournaments, as you mentioned, and special programs for junior, for seniors. I know Golf Zone has, 18 simulators, and they're state-of-the-art. They have an auto tee and ball retrieval system. That's always fun. Camera sensors on the floor, practice modes, 30 world-famous golf courses. So you can actually play courses like Pebble Beach, Harbortown, Kiowa Island, Spyglass, King's Barnes Golf Links in St. Andrews, Scotland, just to name a few. So I think that aspect of it is also so much fun.
It's really good. And if I may add there too, we've got, which is proprietary to Golf Zone, they have this movable floor. So you can actually, depending on the course you're playing, you know, if you're playing a very hilly golf course, you're going to get a side hill, uphill or downhill line. And so it's actually pretty nifty to get on there, and actually even for teaching, to sort of show people how you would play a ball beneath your feet or a ball above your feet. So they've pretty much thought of everything, and it's they've got lockers there. You can get drinks there. It's a real social area too. So we're excited about it, and I say I think we've got two now, and I think that's the start of many.
Well, the first location opened in Little Ferry, New Jersey in 2022. And this new one you just mentioned, Westbury, New York at 655 Merrick Avenue. And myself being a resident on Long Island, I mean, it's great to have one on the island. And I think it's going to be very popular. I know Rich McDonough, who most recently was head golf professional at Marine Park Golf Course, he's leading the facility there. And so your first two facilities are right in the New York metropolitan area. That's awesome.
Hey, listen, we know there's a tremendous number of golfers on Long Island. And so if we can encourage them to come and work on their game, you know, during lunch hours, during the evening time, bring the family with them. And to say there is a big focus on instruction. We've got some really great certified instructors there who we've trained and who are sort of have the ability to teach players of every level.
So according to the National Golf Foundation, David, I was looking at some research, and as of last November 2023, 6.2 million Americans have used a golf simulator in the past year, which is a 73% increase from pre-pandemic levels. And, you know, you can play a variety of top courses indoors, get top instruction. It's a win-win. So it just seems like it's become so popular now. And it's bringing so many more people to the game who might not be able to be outdoors, you know, in the winter, obviously, weather-wise. And it's actually these golf simulators and these indoor ranges are becoming very popular.
They really are. As I say, especially in you know, big cosmopolitan areas, I think that, I mean, obviously, we're looking at expanding to go to the Midwest up to California. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know Hallie very well, and my daughter, and she's
out there. And she says, hello to Hallie.
And she says, Dad, you know, it's so hard unless you're a member of the club here to practice, and there's just no facility. You've got to drive for an hour, and you go to a driving range, but that doesn't necessarily have great golf balls. And so, yeah, those are areas that we're looking at, because I say, you're right. I mean, look, if we can certainly bring people into the game, encouraging them to play better, that's how you're going to grow the game. And it's becoming very popular over here, these indoor facilities and simulators. You know, Golf Zone do a large number. They sell to private homeowners. I mean, people are putting simulators in their homes now, working on things. And it's I do a certain amount of instruction where people on their simulator and say, hey, David, can we look at this? So I give them a lesson indoors. I'm at home, they're at home. And so it's a very different world that we live in now. And I say, for longest time, obviously, it was you go and practice at your golf course with a at a practice facility or driving range of some sort. I mean, there were driving ranges, but you know, a lot of those driving ranges are now going by the board because the land is so expensive. And you know, you look at the size of the golf zone range, and it's a very condensed building. I mean, there's plenty of space in it, but you're not taking up, you know, 30, 40 acres type thing. So it's a, and they're going to be in shopping centers and so on, just so people have easy access to them. So that's the goal. And so it's very exciting because they say it's following what happens in the Far East. We know Korea, Japan, you know, the simulators are very, very popular, but now I say it seems to be catching on over here. And it's not, it used to be a bit of a stigma, now indoor golf, but you know, you look what Tiger and Rory are going to be doing sort of down the road. So I think it's certainly something for the future, and it's another aspect to the game, and we've got to keep growing. We can't just sort of stick in the past. And so this is a modern way of looking at playing golf.
I'm sure you have witnessed so many changes in terms of golf instruction. When did you start teaching? How old were you?
Oh, I'm going to age myself now. But no, I started honestly teaching when I was 18. I became an assistant pro. I was born in England, but I grew up in Southern Africa and Zimbabwe or Rhodesia as it was then. And so I turned pro when I was very young. I turned pro when I was 17. I gave my first lesson when I was 18. You know, I can't remember, you know, I'm sure it was an awful lesson, but, you know, it was one of those things that you learn on the job, so to speak. And, you know, I've always sort of loved teaching. So, yeah, I've been teaching for over 50 years now. So I've seen.
That's amazing.
Not quite in the hickory era, but, you know, I mean, yeah, I've seen a lot of changes, obviously, in equipment and players and facilities. And it's exciting, really. And, you know, it's. The game is evolving, and you know, when I was first out on tour in the sort of early 80s, sort of with the Nick Faldo, Sir Nick, I have to call him Sir now, Sir Nick Faldo and Nick Price. I actually call him Nick, I don't call him Sir Nick, because he used to call me Lord Led. You see, a Lord outranks a Sir, so and, you know, so anyway,
God, we have that straight. I love
it. Yeah, so when I was just one of very few coaches back in the day, you know, and so now, I mean, if you look at it now, I would say majority of tour players didn't have coaches. Now the minority don't have coaches. I mean, you might get the odd Bubba Watson or whomever, but generally speaking, there's going to be some form of coaching, whether it be, you know, swing wise, mentally wise, whether it be just short game or putting, focusing on putting. I mean, so yeah, the game's come a long way, and it's great to see.
Well, I mean, you've stayed in the forefront for decades, and yet, you know, you've had to keep up with the new technology and the times. What do you pinpoint as the key to your success and in consistency and being able to maintain being in the forefront? When people think of golf instructors, they think of David Ledbetter, for sure.
Well, I think, you know, I've always loved teaching and helping people. That's the bottom line. And I always put that through to all the, you know, obviously we train a lot of coaches at our academies, and we have a certification program that people can go through. And I always say, look, the first thing you've got to do is have the passion to actually help people. And that's always been my passion from a very young age. And so, teaching to me always came fairly easy. I mean, it was like I always say if I found it as easy to play as I did to teach, I would have won a few majors by now. But I mean, so, but having said that, I'm still learning. That's the interesting thing about this game. You keep on learning. It's fascinating, you know, from the biomechanics aspects of it, from the mental side of it, to aspects with short game, how equipment fits people, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's a continual learning process. And so that's the thing that fascinates me. You know, I've got books. I'm in my office right now, and I've got books dating back to the 19th century on golf instruction. One of my hobbies is collecting old instruction books. And so it's interesting how, listen, the main focus is still trying to figure out how to get that little, you know, ball into a 4¼-inch hole. So, you know, how we do it now, I mean, with all the, you know, with all the technology out there. And I say, I think in some ways, you know, that I really think it's important that, you know, to some way we head back a little bit and make golf instruction a little more simple, because mm-hmm. most of the golf instruction now, if you go on, if you go on the internet, you go on YouTube, for instance, most of the golf sessions seem to be geared towards good players.
Sure.
And so, you know, unless you get your hands on somebody, that's always, it's still the best way, you know, where you get a one-on-one and your hands are showing them the drills, you take your time and getting somebody to get it, you know, blurting out information. I mean, just look at the amount of information that's out there. I think there's over 7 million pieces of advice on the golf swing on YouTube. And so you can get pretty confused. So it's a blend. I mean, look, if you're working with an elite player, yeah, there's more technically, it's going to be more technically geared, certainly. But if you're working with the average player or the beginner, for instance, you got to keep things simple. You know, you go back to the Ernest Jones and, you know, the John Jacobs and Harvey Penix. You know, I mean, they were really, really successful because they kept things pretty simple. And nowadays, I say, you know, technology is great, but I always say it's only a tool to help us as coaches. It sort of aids us, it assists us. It shouldn't take over. Otherwise, you're not going to need us. And you're going to get AI. You know, you go into a booth somewhere, put, you know, swing, and a ticker tape will come out and say, okay, hey, you're doing this, this, and this. These are your numbers. These are the drills you should work on. So I hope it doesn't get to that point. So, I mean, one of the things that, you know, all the technology doesn't surpass is the instinct that a coach has in order to help a player in a different way. I mean, you know, I might say something to you and say something to the next person and it wouldn't register, right? I mean, sure. So you have to sort of find ways to sort of get into the old, you know, brain box there and say, okay, this is the way that you need to work. We all learn differently. You know, some people learn visually, some people learn kinesthetically, some people learn verbally, you know, so it's really interesting. So I think, you know, I'm continually learning and trying to help our coaches to sort of be broad-minded and, you know, take all the information, all this knowledge that comes out, but learn it all so you can teach the game simply. Because in the end, I mean, if you go and take a lesson from somebody, I mean, the ultimate compliment when they to that coach or teacher is that say, you know what, it made so much sense. It was so simple, and I saw pretty quick results. You know, people, you know, aren't going to wait that length of time before they start to go to some other coach or try follow some other trail. So, right.
You want to keep it simple. You don't want to have to overthink it. And it's so much, as you mentioned, is instinct and feel and somebody's finesse. And you don't want, I mean, the fundamentals are so key, but you don't want the golfer to, you know, have so much information in their head that they're just almost paralyzed because thinking about what, about the technique and everything they just learned. You have to keep it simple. And just, I find that if I just let my athleticism take over, I'm such a better player than if I start thinking about every nuance of every single
shot. Right. You know, as I said, the great John Jacobs, you know, he coined a phrase, you know, paralysis through analysis, you know, and you're right. And the problem is, you know, in golf, the ball is stationary. So you do have time if you want to sort of to, you know, go point by point, check by check. And, you know, those are tough people to play behind too, because, you know, they're just taking the lesson and trying to think of 15 different things at one time. So you're right.
So David, how did you first get into golf? You said you became a professional player, but how old were you when you first started playing and who connected you to the game?
Well, my father played and my mother played a little bit. I grew up playing a lot of tennis and cricket and field hockey. And so I got into golf probably when I was about 11, I think, you know, because we had a pretty, you know, it was amazing. You know, we had a stellar junior program when I was growing up. You know, we had players of the ilk of, you know, going back with, you know, Nick Price, Dennis Watson, Mark McNulty, and so we had a very a real stellar junior program. So it was one of those things that, you know, I enjoyed the game. I mean, it was different to team sports. I mean, although tennis not necessarily a team sport because you're playing doubles, but you know, I enjoyed it because it's like, you know, the more you put into it, the more you got out of it. And so it was like, it was a frustrating game. I mean, I think, you know, you learn a lot, and now obviously you've got sports psychologists to help you sort of to, you know, temper things a little bit and to help you on your way to play better golf through your mind. But, you know, you learn a lot. And I think, you know, golf is, I mean, I think back to those junior days, and I'm actually on the board of the American Junior Golf Association. And it's really exciting to see what, you know, the potential of some of these young people, not only in the game of golf, golf. I mean, we know there's some brilliant young players like this Miles Russell, who made the cut the other day, you know, in a Korn Ferry event at 15. And I've got this young
That's amazing.
Superstar from Thailand. His name is TK Ratchananon. And so, I mean, this kid, I mean, he's already won an Asian tour event, and he's actually going to Stanford in the fall. So it's interesting what junior golf can lead to. And I mean, I think when you speak to a lot of adults who maybe took the game up a little later in life, you know, they all say, man, I wish I started to play this game at a younger age, because I mean, you can play it for a lifetime. You know, you can, so you don't have to be the greatest athlete, and you can enjoy it, and you can, you know, it's a way of walking and getting exercise and one thing and another. So, you know, it's one of those things that I've always said junior golf has been a big part of my life and focus. And it dates back to, say, when we started at a very young age. So I'm excited to think about, you know, the future. I mean, we've got a full-time junior academy. We have kids coming too. They go to school, and the goal is to get them educated as well as sort of, you know, obviously play golf. I mean, because we know only a very, very few are going to be successful in this game. And so you have to have that behind you. And let's face it, golf can open a lot of doors. And we're seeing, look at the number of girls that are taking up the game now. And so, I mean, it's great in business. If you can play to a reasonable level, as I say to the boys, I say, hey, you know what? If you want to go out with a good looking girl, golfer, you know, just get your game in shape and go out and play with them, you know?
That's right. So. I mean, I preach that all the time to young people, because it's a lifelong sport and it opens so many doors for business, right? I mean, you know, becoming a professional, that is so tough. There's so much depth out there in talent for both men and women, but just learning golf at really any age, right? And using it for business, to meet people, to do business deals.
Exactly.
It's just such a great tool for business. So I just think more and more women, as you mentioned, are learning that they don't want to be stuck in the office while all the guys are out there making deals on, you know, the 19th hole, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, the opportunities there for young women or girls who want to go to college to get scholarships. I mean, you know, I mean, it's been for the longest period of time they weren't able to fulfill all the scholarships that they had in this country, so they had to go overseas, and that's why you see so many international players at college now and still. But yeah, so I think it's really you know, players like Nelly Korda obviously going to drive the game, get the young girls involved, and I tell parents all the time, look, I mean, if your daughter is a young athlete, I mean, I know a lot of them want to play maybe volleyball or tennis or something, or lacrosse. But I say, you know, if they're good athletes, and golf can, you never know how good you're going to get. They could become a professional, you know, odds are not great, but they could. But yet, I mean, it's going to open a lot of doors. I mean, you know, you can't play lacrosse your whole life. You can certainly play golf your whole life. That's for sure.
And cricket can only take you so far.
Yeah, cricket can only take you so far. Exactly, yeah.
I saw a young girl at my club in Florida, the Legacy Club of Alacoa Lakes, 9 years old. And I was just admiring her swing. She had a beautiful swing. Her father coaches her. And she qualified for the drive, chip, and putt national finals at Augusta National. She came in fourth. But just a great attitude, winning a lot of junior tournaments, having just such a blast playing. And they're starting younger and younger. And it's what you said, David, is what they learn. Like with my book, Life on the Green, I'll plug my book too, Life on the Green, Lessons in Wisdom from Legends of Golf. These legends learn so much from golf at an early age that they use throughout their entire lives. And, you know, golf teaches you how to be prepared and how to be organized and the work ethic, and there's just so much that you learn from golf, and you're so passionate about it. It's just so great to see your passion all these years, and you still love it. And as you say, you're still learning, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I have my love for the game and my sort of trying to figure out. I mean, you know, it's like, we're like detectives, right? We've got to figure out a case. Every case study, everybody comes to you as a different case study. And so, it's always interesting to me if you can help that person to really get a clear understanding and a blueprint for success for that particular individual. So it's and as you know, just getting back to the juniors, I mean, let's face it, so much of golf parallels life. I mean, and you look at these junior golfers, I mean, they're well mannered. I mean, you don't see too many sports where, you know, they walk off the 18th green, they take their caps off, they go and shake hands. I mean, that's just a tradition. That's sort of, you don't see in other sports really, you know. And so not disparaging other sports to any form or shape, but I do think it develops a certain quality of individual. And you know, if you, I mean, that's why obviously the first tee program is great, because it brings people into the game who might not have been able to play the game. So no, I'm all for promoting the game at a young age, because that's the future, let's face it.
That's right. And I'm thrilled that Golf Zone Range by Ledbetter has opened in Westbury, New York at 655 Merrick Avenue. You also have one in Little Ferry, New Jersey, which opened in 2022. Best of luck with it. What a great concept.
Thank you.
You're growing the game. People say growing the game a lot. They like to throw that line out there. But you, David Ledbetter, truly grow the game. I love your passion for it. As I said, I could talk to you for hours. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Ann.
Really appreciate it. Thanks. Golf Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Golf Zone Range by David Ledbetter, with the latest golf technology in Little Ferry, New Jersey, and now in Westbury, Long Island. Learn golf faster. Visit www.golfzonerange, that's golf, Z-O-N, range.com. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality, experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice fill technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBeCool.com.